closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. I'm going to miss the beginning of the game, but I'm going to admit it. I am really interested in the World Series this year. I really am. More than most. Well, the Cubs are there. For the first time since... what year were they there? I mean, they haven't won one since 1908. But they have 45? Something like that. I mean, this has just been, this is a lot like Boston in 03. Let's see, 45. Anyway, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They haven't been there in a long, long time. They haven't won one since 1908. And it's just, it's against another team that hasn't won a World Series in a long, long time, the Cleveland Indians. You wonder how popular Major League the movie will become if the Cleveland Indians win the World Series. My hope and my belief is it's going to be a very good World Series. I think it's two very, very good teams. And they're both kind of juggernauts. You know that team of destiny stuff that you hear about in sports? I would argue both these teams have that going for them. So I just think it'll be very, very interesting. I'm looking forward to it. All right. I had totally missed this. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due. So I'm walking in the hallway to come in to do my show, and I cross paths with Nick Vetrano from 101 WIXX. And he's frustrated as hell because apparently they got into some spirited debate, I don't know if it was listeners or what it was, over the Teal Pumpkin Project. Earl, are you familiar with the Teal Pumpkin Project? Could be. Because Nick has little kids and we don't. Here's what it is. Back in 2012, a Tennessee mom named Becky Basilone had an idea. What if Halloween could be made a little less tricky for kids with food allergies? Her idea became what is now the Teal Pumpkin Project, a nationwide effort to encourage families, whether their own kids have food restrictions or not, to offer up some non-food treats on October 31st. Participation is simple. You just put a teal-colored pumpkin or sign outside your door and offer trick-or-treaters glow sticks, spider rings, Halloween stickers, or other non-food goodies, along with or instead of the traditional candies. Food Allergy Research and Education, FAIR, a nonprofit advocacy group, first promoted the idea nationwide in 2014 with the help of a viral Facebook post, says Nancy Gregory, Senior Director of Communications. In 2015, about 1 million people visited the group's website to get information, and about 10,000 of them, probably a fraction of participants, put their homes on an interactive map showing teal pumpkin sites. This year, the group is thinking bigger, Gregory says. Our goal is to have a home on every block in America with a teal pumpkin. We hope that it becomes a new Halloween tradition. Like any true American tradition, this one now has commercial tie-ins. FAIR has licensed Teal Pumpkin Project products, from foam pumpkins to painting kits, for sale at partner retailers such as CVS, Michaels, Party City, and Oriental Trading Company. The organization gets a cut for its research, education, and advocacy programs. I didn't quite get what Nick's beef was, but apparently he thinks it stigmatizes kids with allergies. I didn't quite understand his argument, but it happened in about 30 seconds as I was walking in the door here. He thinks the kids with allergies should have the teal pumpkin, the teal thing that they carry around, and not the other way around. If you listen to the show, you know what fascinates me is how serious a problem food allergies are. And I've talked about this. I grew up in a very small town, very small school. But still, I don't know of one kid that had a food allergy. I don't know. I guess this doesn't bother me. But it is amazing to me. And it's not just peanuts. It's, man, kids are, there's allergies you would never even consider. I heard something today that I heard a few weeks ago. In fact, we took it up. Earl, did we not take the topic up that you shouldn't let your dog lick your face? We took that up, didn't we? I'm sure we did, on the air. I think it was pre-Ireland trip. And you could get E. coli, you could get all of this, and I try not to let her lick me on the lips, but otherwise I do let dogs lick my face. I do. Oh, it's just dangerous. I was raised on a farm. Cows would lick my face, not being affectionate. They would just, it would happen. And I saw where that tongue was. You know, I don't know. It does amaze me that food allergies have become the problem that they have. Speaking of a problem, this is not a new problem. Earl, you were in local politics. I am sure that you can attest that this is not a new problem. The defacing, vandalizing, or theft of political signs. He knew exactly where I was going. One of the first talk show topics, 1984. WC, WC, Ripon. The call letters are gone. The frequency lives on, but the call letters are gone. I had a state lawmaker call in. I was filling in on the show. This is nothing new. It's more pronounced, I think, this year because of the polarizing nature of the two presidential candidates. They are both so unliked that the Green Bay Police Department actually dealt with this in a PR sort of way, I mean. Green Bay police would like everyone to mind their P's and Q's when it comes to political yard signs. Wow, from our cliche department. Their message is for residents to be respectful of others' property, writes Todd McMahon at USA Today Network, Wisconsin, after the department received several complaints about stolen or damaged election signs. Perpetrators caught in the act of damaging or removing signs face stiff consequences. And they posted on the Green Bay Police Department Facebook page a video. And you can find it at WTAQ.com. That is where I found it, at WTAQ.com. What the heck is that he's wearing, assuming it's a he? It's like a zebra mummy. Black and white stripes. It's a striped hood, but doesn't it like all the way down the back? A striped hoodie type thing? Bizarre. I can't tell exactly what he does to that Trump sign. Is that water he sprays on it or is that paint? I mean, but it looks like it's coming from a hose. So it's weird. Anyway, all water's part of the trap. That's what was going on. Oh, okay. We need motion and sprinkler traps now to catch people doing this stuff. Anyway, it has been a problem for as long as there have been yard signs. And one other note on this, and again, Earl having been in politics, I would think he can attest to this. People who measure a candidate's popularity by yard signs. Absolutely, completely unscientific. Well, Trump has even done this. You can't tell a darn thing other than enthusiasm of the person's supporters. That's all it means. So I always caution when I do our unscientific polls here. Like the 17 women that called and defended Donald Trump, that's not representative of all women in the audience. That's the 17 women willing and able to get through. That's it. But it was interesting radio nonetheless. Yeah, I mean, there are people who allow the candidates to put signs up. They're not supporting them. It's a very good point, Earl. Let me quiz Earl once more on this. How many days after the election do you have to go pick up your signs? It's 1 week? I thought it was a little longer than that. You think it's only a week? You might be right about that. I tell you what, that's when you're running for the 8th Congressional District, you need a team to help you out there because they are all over, you know, multi-county areas in the 8th CD. I do marvel, though, how people that Earl says, yeah, they take a sign, they won't even support you. His last opponent intentionally went to places I had signs, so they had both signs in there. And you see that. I have seen that in other races as well. Speaking of the 8th CD, as I did a moment ago, but first let me interrupt myself and ruin the whole thing. You notice how much better I am at transitions in these topics, that I designed them to go just seamlessly from one to the other, which I now blew by pointing out. Anyway, I was just so proud of myself, I couldn't help it. Speaking of the 8th Congressional District, there is no, and this is frustrating, there is no independent polling in the 8th CD. The Marquette University Law School poll doesn't do it. Whatever St. Norbert calls their research thing now. They didn't do it. It's costly. It's costly to do a poll specific to a congressional district. So nobody knows for sure, other than the candidates and third-party groups who do internal polling. I have an idea, but I'm not at liberty to share. The belief is that those involved believe it's close because money is pouring in, according to the Green Bay Press Gazette's Adam Rodewald. Political groups plan to spend more than $1 million on network and cable TV ads in Northeast Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District race between now and Election Day. Well, that's a bit of a misspeak. They don't plan on spending network buys. Probably what he means, I would guess, is on the network affiliates. The local TVs, they're not buying networks, unless he's talking about drop-ins, like on CNN, you know, local cut-ins on CNN and that sort of thing. Anyway, the amount of money pouring in the race between, into the race between Green Bay Republican Mike Gallagher and Appleton Democrat Tom Nelson suggests it's still one of the more competitive contests in the nation, despite some indications that Gallagher is pulling ahead. He characterizes that quite well. There are indications Gallagher is pulling ahead. But yet you do see a lot of money pouring in. Both campaigns say they will double down in the days leading up to the November 8th election in order to contrast their policy positions with their opponents. Here's what I would say. There are indications Mike Gallagher is pulling ahead. Nobody can take anything for granted. In fact, even this notion that the presidential race is over, polls all over the place. You had a bipolar couple of days with Kellyanne Conway, Trump's campaign manager, and Trump, her acknowledging that he's trailing, his saying he's winning. I don't think that it's a slam dunk. And we're going to get to this later in the show. I think there is some evidence that her problems, WikiLeaks and other revelations, are hurting her more than the mainstream media is recognizing. Because if you give, look at the month that Trump had, really, any candidate, not Hillary Clinton, should be leading him by about 20 points. And as disastrous a month as he has had, it isn't accepted that she's had a disastrous few weeks, but she has. And it's possible that voters are noticing that. And the revelation yesterday about the possible relationship between Clinton and the FBI, and we're going to get to that. We didn't really get to it yesterday. This is a real possibility. Now, Republicans probably aren't going to want to say this. This could be a Nixon scenario. Nobody took Watergate seriously. Remember when Watergate happened, right? June 17th, 1972? I bet you I'm right about that, Earl. It's June 1972. You just look it up. I have to impress myself here because no one else is going to be impressed by this. I say June 7th. Look at me. June 17th, 1972. In advance of Nixon's re-election bid. Where did it happen? At the Watergate Hotel? You're so funny over there. Yeah, and Forrest Gump called it in. Anyway. It had no impact on the election. A lot of this stuff could come home to roost right afterwards should she win. And a lot of it is really potentially impeachable. So that may be taking more of a toll than the mainstream media is willing to admit. Speaking of willing to admit things, I am also going to talk about the Obamacare shock. I think this could be playing. These things aren't getting the publicity because Democrats don't talk about themselves the way Donald Trump talks about himself. And that's, you know, yeah, the media is being unfair, but he helps them out so much. And she is perfectly willing to let Donald Trump talk about himself, talk about himself, talk about himself, talk about himself. She's fine with that. Just fine with that. So, that being the case, I think it's possible conservative media, other outlets, her issues, her problems are resonating with moderates and independents more than is being recognized. I don't know. All indications are it's still a big electoral win for her, but nothing means nothing. This is just, conventional wisdom doesn't exist. It's a contradiction in terms in this presidential race. Now, in the next hour, we're going to start with something that has nothing to do with presidential politics. On Thursday, we are interviewing Jeff Perlman, author of Gunslinger, the biography of Brett Favre. I'm reading it in preparation for that, which puts me in about 1 percentile of radio personalities when they interview authors. I try to read as much of the book as possible. I don't know if I'm going to get through the whole thing. I am going to jump to a couple of sections. I want to get to the section about Aaron Rodgers and their relationship. However, there's one page in the book that I think when the book is out for mass distribution is going to get a lot of attention. It's about Irvin Favre, Brett's father, and the vicious physical abuse that he doled out to his children. I'm going to read one page of the book, and we're going to talk about it after 9:06. It's 9 o'clock.
Old man Wrigley lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things.
News, talk, sports. WTAQ, Green Bay.